Hello again. Looking at Sunday, the 28th of June, and still in lockdown, so we're having recordings again instead of Sunday school. I hope you are finding these helpful. So before we go any further, let's play our little game. So I am thinking of an animal. That is your first clue. For 5 points, if you can guess what animal it is right now, I'll be very impressed. Okay, so that's for 5 points. For 4 points, this is an animal you find on a farm. For 3 points, this animal walks on four legs and has no feathers. Can't actually think of an animal that has feathers and walks on four legs, but yeah, it walks on four legs and has no feathers. For 2 points, this animal is measured in hands. When you want to measure how big this animal is, you measure it in hands. For 1 point, this animal's babies are called foal. So did you guess that I was thinking of a horse? If you did, well done. It's just for fun. I hope you enjoy that. So we are on our third session of things that Christians should know. Because I think that, you know, there's quite a lot of things that God asks us to do as Christians. And it can be very challenging. It can be very difficult. But we, you know, he doesn't do that and just leave us with no help, with no way to do it. He gives us so many things that are in the Bible. And there are certain things that as a Christian, even as a new Christian or an old Christian, there might be some things that you don't know that are in the Bible that God gives us to help us in our everyday life. So to understand the armor of God that we're going to be talking about today. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first part of it. Paul is talking about children and what responsibilities are as children in verse 1. Then in verse 4, he talks to the fathers and he says, you know, don't be too hard on your children. Verse 5, he talks to the slaves and he says, obey your masters and work as if you're working to the Lord with your whole heart. In verse 9, he talks to the masters and he says, treat your servants fairly. Then in verse 10, he goes, finally, okay, which means after all of that, having told you all of the difficult things I want you to do, children, obey your fathers, fathers, be nice to your kids, servants, stay with your masters and work according to God's laws, and masters, be good to your servants, all of that. He says, finally, this is how you're supposed to do it. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, which would be great if we could just leave it there. Just be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Because what we find really is when we're talking about the armor of God, of course, this sounds like warfare. And it is really a war between the devil and God. Both armies are trying to increase their numbers and have more soldiers join them. And the devil uses tricks. He's always trying to trick us into not trusting God and to doing things that are wrong and bad. He's always trying to get us to sin. So we need to believe God, and we need to believe what God says about us. We shouldn't believe what everybody else says about us, all the bad things that other people might say about us. Don't believe that. All the bad things you might think and feel about yourselves. Don't believe that. Believe what God says. Believe the good things that God says about you. Sometimes we even have evidence of the bad things that we have done, and we beat ourselves up about it a lot. Don't do that. Believe what God says, and believe the you know, the things that God thinks you're going to be in the future. Believe that. Have that hope that you will get better, that you'll be a better person. Because as I say, like when I was growing up, there was plenty of evidence for what people were saying about me. I could hardly be trusted to wash dishes without breaking something. I was almost always breaking something. And there was lots of evidence of that. I would be drinking from a glass, put it on the side of the table, and it would just fall to the floor. Oh, loads of times when that would happen. And so when we would go and visit people, people would sort of say, oh, you know, just give Kuda like a plastic cup so that she doesn't break that. And there was evidence. There was times when I would look back and I think, yeah, last time we came here to visit, actually, yeah, I did break something. You know, and it was just like there was so much evidence, but I didn't believe that was me all the time, that I was not always going to be somebody eating out of plastic cups and plates and using plastic fork and knife. I had to believe that I would grow up, that I would see sense, and that I would be reliable and a good person. So I didn't really believe the things that people were saying about me. They say, oh, you always break things. Oh, this always happens to you. It didn't happen all the time. It happened a lot, but it wasn't like all the time. And obviously now I can be relied on with glasses and cups and breakable things. But so you can't depend on even the things you know about yourself. They're not always that reliable. You have to listen to what God says about you. If you look at the Bible, it's full of people. Gideon, for example, didn't believe what God was saying about him when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Moses is another example who had excuses of why God should choose someone else. Elijah, loads of people in the Bible. Isaiah was like, oh, I'm just too young. You know, Jeremiah, people had doubts about themselves. And we are going to feel like that. That is absolutely normal, which is why we need to know what God says about us. We need to read our Bible and understand that better. And not just read part of it. We need to read it in context. We need to read it and understand it properly and ask God to help us to know what he's saying to us as individuals. So the whole Bible is written for us. Like when we were looking at John chapter 10, verse 10, we need to personalize things and understand that God wants to talk to us as individuals. So where the Bible is saying the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come, Jesus says, so that they might have life and have it to the full. We need to personalize that and say, the devil is coming to steal from me, to kill me, and to destroy my life and my joy and my happiness. But Jesus has come that I might have life and I might have it to the full today. Okay, personalize it and bring it to the present, because that is what we're supposed to do with God's word. It's timely. It is for now. It is for today. Okay, so this is warfare, and we have got the equipment we need from God to live the life he wants us to live. So he's not like asking us to do all of those things that are in the first part of Ephesians. He's not asking us to be good children and to be patient parents and to be, you know, to work, maybe not quite slaves, but, you know, when I go to work, I'm working for that company and I have to work and be a good worker and be diligent and not steal their things and all of that. He's not asking me to be a good worker without giving me any resources. And masters, he's not asking masters to be patient with the people that are working for them without giving them any resources. One of the resources he gives us is the armor of God. All these things are supposed to make it easier for us to do all the things that God wants us to do. So you can pause this recording for a bit while you get pen and paper or pencils, because I would like you to draw this out as we're talking about it. So draw an outline of a person, arms, legs, head, everything. And then we're going to put these the pieces of the armor of God on. There's six of them. So it's not going to take too long, but we're going to, you can add them to your picture as we go along. I know that my kids will love doing this, and you know, it'll probably, they'll probably look, well, amazing in a, just that sort of way that they do. So I'm really looking forward to seeing these pictures. So the Bible tells us that we have this equipment that God has, that we can cover ourselves and protect ourselves. So we're going to talk about the armor of God. And if we look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it starts talking about the mighty power that God has given us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That part is saying that when somebody or something happens to you, it is not that thing or that person that you should hate or you should have a battle against. There are spiritual forces that are at work in this world. There are things that the devil controls that affect your life. And those are the things you need to pray against those spiritual forces. You don't need to pray against people. You don't need to say, oh, my neighbor hates me and has done this. It's the devil that uses that neighbor to try and make you miserable, to steal your joy, kill you, or destroy your life or your property. So you need to see beyond the actual things that are happening and look at, you know, the cause of it is the devil and the horrible things that he plans to do for our lives. And then in verse 13, it says, therefore, what should we do when all these horrible things are happening for us? Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, or when evil comes knocking on your door, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. So there is standing your ground, and then there is the other standing. So you can stand your ground, and that's one good way of standing your ground and not letting things take your ground and push you back and make you fall over or whatever. And then after you've stood your ground, you still have to stand. And I think that standing is for righteousness, standing for the right things and standing for justice and peace and the right way for things to go. So in verse 14, it says, stand firm, therefore, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right, so in verse 14 to verse 17, it starts listing all the armor of God. What we're going to do is, as we're drawing on our little person, we're going to take it from the top because it's easier to remember it that way. And we're going to start with the helmet of salvation. So when we are saved and we give our lives to God and we decide to live more like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are saved. And God gives us this helmet of salvation. It's not something you earn. It's something that when you give your life to Christ, you just get. You are saved by God, so you have your salvation. And he gives you this helmet of salvation. A helmet obviously covers your head, so you can draw that in. And it protects your eyes and your ears and your nose and your jaw. Sometimes it even has a little bit on the back that protects your neck. So this helmet is going to protect the things that you think about. It's supposed to protect what you see, what you watch, what you allow to get into your head through your eyes and through your ears. Protects the things that you listen to so that you don't just listen to any stupid thing. You don't believe everything you hear people saying about you, like I didn't believe what people were saying about me. I knew that there was a hope and that things could get better. I listened to what God said about me. God says a lot of amazing things about us in the Bible, and that is what we're supposed to focus on. We need to listen to what God says about us. And we need to have that hope and belief that he is right. Because the devil might make you feel that you're useless, or that you're not going anywhere, you can't become anything. And all of that is just to steal your future, to steal your destiny, to steal all the people that you could reach with a good message. You have to listen to what God says. And the helmet of salvation protects your thoughts. And it helps you to think of the right things. As we go further down, we come across our mouth. Now we have a special belt of truth. Although we wear it on our waist, so don't draw the mouth over this person's, don't draw the belt over this person's mouth. Draw it around their waist. But because it's the next thing to be dealt with, the things that we say, we have to be very, very careful about the things that we say. We shouldn't say negative things about ourselves. Now, this is a belt of truth. And the devil is the father of lies, the Bible says. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which is obviously the opposite of the devil. And we have to believe the truth. We have to believe what Jesus says. We have to believe what God says, because that is the truth. We have to believe what the Bible says, because that is the truth. So with all of that, you should speak the truth. You should speak the truth about yourself. And that is reflected in what God says about you from the Bible. Don't say negative things that will affect you, because we obviously listen to the things that we say. So you must be a good and truthful witness to yourself. And it's not just the truth about other people, but it's also the truth about yourself. Because that will greatly affect how you do, how well you do in this battle. Going further down, we come to the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the heart, the lungs. You've got the stomach there. You've got, all the other delicate little things like the spleen and the liver, the kidneys. They would all be protected by the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the heart is obviously where our desires are. And we should be very careful the things that we want or the things that we ask for. Because we have to be careful that we ask for the right things and we make the right choices. We have to ask God to protect that and keep our desires safe, so that we want the things that are in line with God's will. The Bible tells us that sometimes our prayers are not answered because we are asking for the wrong things. We should ask for the things that are in line with God's will for our lives. And our lungs, they are our breath that give us life. So we need to protect that. We need to protect our life. We need to protect the things that... the things that we do with our time. So God, when we have the breastplate of righteousness on, that is a gift from God, because he gave us Jesus Christ to come, who lived a good life, who lived a righteous life, who lived a perfect life, and therefore had no sin. But Jesus chose to take our sin. In exchange, he gave us the righteousness. And that righteousness is what God sees when he looks at us. He looks at us and he sees us as if we haven't done anything wrong. And he sees us as his sons and daughters. So when we wear our breastplate of righteousness, it helps us to make the right choices. And it helps us to be seen by God as being amazing. He sees us as being his children, and he doesn't count all the things that we have done wrong. As long as we repent and we ask for his forgiveness, that's all he sees. He sees us as if we have made the right choices all along and done good things. Then we go further down. Okay, then we have to go to our hands. We have the shield of faith. If you're in a battle, you need a shield. You need a shield to protect you from from arrows that might be coming at you. You need to protect you. Like if somebody swipes a sword at you, you could put your shield to sort of like deflect it and push it away. So we need protection against the arrows that the devil shoots at us. And they might come to us as negative thoughts. They might come to us as words. There might be bad songs. There might be lots of different arrows that the devil sends our way. And they might come through other people. Or they might come through the books we read or things like that that we allow into our mind. So we need to protect ourselves with the shield of faith. And it's faith in what? What do we put our faith in? We should put our faith in God. We should put our faith in the plan that God has, even for this time with COVID-19 pandemic and all of that. God still has a plan for this world. He still has a plan for our lives and how we're going to come out of lockdown and the school, school life. He has a plan for your school life, for you and your friends. He has a plan, a good plan. And that's what we have to have our faith in. That even though things might look bad and things might look really dire and people might be breaking, you know, the laws out there and doing whatever they think is right, and there might be riots, and you just wonder, how is this all going to end? But even though we can't see it, we have to have faith in God and His purpose, that things are going to work out perfectly according to His desires. So we need to have our shield of faith. It keeps arrows away. It keeps the devil's attack at bay. In our other hand, our strong hand, we're going to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is so important that we read our Bible and that we understand it and personalize it for ourselves, that we understand the power that it is in the written Word of God, because that is our sword. That is the thing that we will use to attack the devil. If you remember that in Matthew, right at the beginning, Jesus is tempted by the devil. He tempts him to turn bread, to turn stones into bread. He tempts him to throw himself from a high mountain and let the angels save him so that everyone can see that he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. And he tempts him to worship the devil so that then the devil will give Jesus so many riches or give him the whole world as his own. But Jesus, every time the devil comes at him, he went back to the devil with the sword of the Spirit. He went back to the devil with a word from the scriptures, with a word from the Bible. And when he said those things, the devil couldn't do anything, because the word of God is so powerful. It repelled him. And we have got to know that word. When the devil is attacking you and telling you you're useless, or that, oh, this pandemic is killing so many people, that there is no hope, there is no future, you have got to know that God knows the end of the situation from the beginning. You have got to know that when God made the whole world and he made you, he looked at you and he said, it is good. That when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. That there is no more, you don't need to suffer any more pain, any more worry. You don't need to have any more anxiety or feel that you're worthless. You need to know what God says about you. You need to know the truth of the Word of God, because that is a powerful sword. And the Bible tells us that it cuts through things and it cuts between things and it cuts through and divides even the closest knit things like the bone and the marrow. The Bible, the Word of God, cuts through all of that. So whatever you might be feeling, or if you feel bad, and you can find a word from God in the Bible, it will cut through those feelings of negativity and it will give you a great outlook to life. So it's so important that we read our Bible and we understand that it is a personal message for us. Right, so now we come on to the shoes. We have shoes that are on our feet in readiness to tell others about Jesus. And these are the shoes that bring the gospel of peace. In verse 15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is being ready for life. You have got your shoes on. You are good to go. So you have got to be ready for every stage of your life. Every stage of your life, God has given you those shoes so that you're ready for it. Whether you're going to school or you are at university, whatever you're doing, you have got to be happy with your age and your stage of life. Don't feel anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God and He will help you to get ready. He will help you to be happy with wherever you are. So if you're feeling worried about things, or you're worried about the pandemic and you're worried about going back to school and you're worried about maybe coming out of shielding and all of that, ask God to make you ready. Ask God to give you that wisdom to know what you're supposed to be doing with your life right now. And He will do it. He will give you that information. So He gives us shoes to be ready for our lives, but also to be ready to speak the word of God to other people. If you have the answer to something and you see somebody who needs that answer, you shouldn't keep it to yourself. You should go and share that answer to other people, with other people. And that is the readiness of being ready to speak God's word to other people, to bring peace into their lives, to bring the answer to them, so that we can increase the kingdom of God and reduce the number of the kingdom of the devil. So we will have more people going to heaven and less people going to hell. So that is all the elements of the armor of God. And I hope you've been drawing your picture as we've gone on. So at the top, we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the belt of truth. We have the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And we have our shoes in readiness to speak the gospel of truth to other people. And that is the full armor of God. But you'll notice that there's very little of our back that's actually covered. And it's not that God doesn't care about what is behind us, but He expects you to be ready to meet whatever problems you face. You should face them head on. You should face them in the power and the confidence of knowing that God is with you and is giving you all the equipment you need to win the battle against the devil. But if we look at Psalms 23, it tells us that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So God has that covered as well. Even though that was in the Old Testament, and we're talking about Ephesians, which is in the New Testament, you can see how the whole Bible works together. Because the Bible tells us goodness and mercy, if it's following us, they're behind us. They're right there behind us. So we don't have to worry about what is behind us. What is behind us is God's goodness. It's God's mercy. So let us carry on. Let us run this race. Let us face forward and go in the power of the armor of God. And this armor is complete. It covers every area of our lives. And that's why some people are, you know, most of the time we're encouraged to put on the whole armor of God every day before we even get out of bed, so that we're ready for those annoying brothers or sisters if we have them. Or we are ready for our parents if they ask us to do something that we might not be ready to do. But we can use part of this armor. We can use the shoes that bring a gospel of peace and say, okay, fine, I'm going to be peaceful and I'm going to be good and I'm going to do what they're asking me to do, even though it's really hard. Or if somebody comes at you with a negative thought, you can just put on your helmet and think, No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to let that affect my thoughts. If something really, really strong comes at you and tells you that, you're not going to pass your exams or you're not going to do well in something, you can remind them that in Psalm 23, it starts off by saying, in Psalm 1, it talks about the man that is happy because he's planted by the rivers of water, and that Jesus is a well of water. He describes himself as a well of water that can flow through us and touch other people. So that's not right. You can grow up to be a big, strong tree that even birds would make a nest and be in. So you can use the armor of God to come against negativity in your life. When the devil is attacking you, attacking your thoughts, attacking things about you, attacking your family, you can speak the truth. If somebody is ill, you can remind them that when Jesus was on the earth, he healed people of all of their diseases. And that before he left, he promised us greater power. And when the Holy Spirit came, that was the manifestation of that power. You can remind yourself and you can remind other people around you about how the parts of the Bible speak that if we cry out to God about anything, he will hear us and he will send an answer. So you can use all of that, all of the whole armor of God, in conjunction with what God says about us in the Bible, to live a good life, to start in having that great life that that Jesus Christ died for us to have, and to know that you're a whosoever, like we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about John chapter 3, verse 16. So I hope that this blesses you, and I hope it really helps you to see how the armor of God can work in our lives. I am recommending a song about the armor of God, and on YouTube, it is the one, it's called Armor of God, but it's the American spelling of armor, so it doesn't have a U. And it's by Covenant Kids Worship. So you can find that on YouTube. Alternatively, it has been uploaded onto the church website. So you can find it on there as well. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful tool that you give us in the armor. And I pray that people will really understand this and take it on board and make it part of their life and their daily routine, to put on the armor of God. And I pray that the drawings that they do today will be really amazing and will help them to learn more about the armor and to know how it protects them and shields them from the attack of the devil. I pray that, Lord, even through this pandemic, we will use this armor to help us to have faith and hope in you that will take us through. And when we meet up in church again, it'll be with joy. So bless everybody hearing this, Lord, and help them to apply it to their lives and teach them even greater things than I have done today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, and see you soon. Bye.